Thank you for tuning in to Highland Chapel Online. My name is Nick Calloway. I'm one of the pastors here at HC. We love being able to offer this resource, but please don't let it take the place of gathering with your local church. What a privilege it is to be known, to be seen, and to enjoy the fellowship of believers. But while you're here, we hope that God's word is encouraging to you and that you'll respond to His message. Have a great day.
Be seated, church. That last song is a good one, isn't it? I'm so thankful for that. I told first service that raising babies is a privilege, and your kids oftentimes teach you way more than you realize. I had my littlest in the truck just this past week, and out of nowhere, she says, Daddy, I wish Jesus was still on the earth. I said, oh yeah? Why is that? So he can play with me, is what she said. And that song right there makes me think how glorious a day that really will be when we can see him face to face, when we can see our Savior. But Jesus, we had a great teaching moment, but Jesus said, it's actually better for you that I go. Because in my place, I'm sending the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, and He is with you wherever you go. So, child of God, you have the Spirit of God living within you. You have Jesus with you even right now. He's with you. But that'll be a great day when we can see Him face to face, right, church? And I'm patiently waiting for it. I think the older I get, my patience is wearing out, but I'm ready to see King Jesus. My name is Luke, one of the pastors here. We're just so thankful that you are worshiping with us this morning. Today is the last Sunday in our short little three-part series called Sacrifice. Hopefully over the series, we've done a good job of saying, hey, sacrifice really is serving, and serving really is sacrifice. If you remember last week, we said that serving is a blessing. And in that message, We read a passage of scripture, and Paul's like, hey, man, you need to get after it. You need to serve. You need to give your life. We do this to show that our life is not dull and indifferent. Y'all remember that verse? We're not dull and indifferent. That serving absolutely benefits the one that we serve. Of course, we know that. But serving does so much for you and your spiritual walk. I want to share a quote, a story from one of you, a Holland Chapel church member. Her name is Janelle Smith. She gave me permission to say her name and read her story. It was a few hours after I got home last week after preaching the message that she sends me this, and I thought we all need to hear it, that serving really is a blessing. She says this, in the message when you were talking about being dull and indifferent, and that serving can help you if you are struggling with that, I have experienced this firsthand. After my divorce, I took a break from serving for about a year. I thought I was being noble and that I was too broken to be of any use. That's the biggest mistake I made during that time. Taking that year did not grow me spiritually or help put me back together. It made me more lonely, more sad, more broken, depressed even. All of my focus was on me and my situation and how pitiful and shameful I felt. I finally cried out to God for help, and He told me I needed to get back to serving Him. I had people try and convince me not to, that I needed to heal more first. I'm so thankful that I didn't listen. And let me tell you, serving was my healing. Once I started serving God again, my soul came alive. It helped me put my focus back where it should be, off of myself and on Him and others. Serving gave me perspective and gave me joy. If only people could see where their life could be when they look beyond themselves and their circumstances. Are you thankful for testimonies like these? So every week, every week I come in here and I try to recap the week before and mention what we studied and maybe give you some announcements, some heads up. But Janelle does a wonderful job of recapping last week. Was serving is a blessing. Serving is a blessing, and I'm thankful for her story. And we're going to jump into our topic in just a moment. But I want to get us caught up on where we are as a church. If you notice, the back wall is not painted, and there's some stuff going on. If you missed that announcement 2 weeks ago, we're making some changes. We're making some remodeling up here on the stage. We're going to take these steps out in hopes to add about 50 more seats. That's really going to help us as we grow. That's 100 people a Sunday that it'll allow us to bring in here, hopefully comfortably. But if everything goes well, there's no construction delays, we should be ready to rock next Sunday with nothing out of the norm. And as Pastor Grant mentioned, we got group ministries starting September the 8th. And I want to put a shameless plug for one of our groups called The Art of Marriage. Are you ready for it? This is a 6-week series that Doug and Sherry Kurtz are going to be teaching. In church, I've learned a lot in ministry, but there's one thing that I learned that is true all the time, that Satan, please hear me, hates your marriage. He hates your marriage, and he wants nothing more than to destroy it. So it does not matter if you've been married a week or 50 years, if you are on the verge of divorce or you think there is nothing more than we can do to strengthen our marriage, this course is for you. This study is for you. Now, I want you to be bold and to say, husband, wife, we've never done anything like that before. I want to encourage you to sign up for this. It will be a blessing to you and your marriage. So take advantage. Awesome leader is going to be leading this. The Art of Marriage, you do not want to miss out on that. Week number 3 of our sermon series called Sacrifice. I want you to write this down. Serving, sacrifice, is our command. Sacrifice, serving, is our command. Week 1, serving is a sacrifice. Week 2, serving is a blessing. We had that wonderful example from Janelle. And this week, sacrifice, serving, however you want to write it, hopefully they're synonymous, is a command. It's our command. It's what God instructs us to do. It's what he tells us to do. He wants us to serve. So, of course, it's a blessing, but it's also something that he tells us to do. I want you to go to John chapter 13 this morning. John chapter 13. Before we read it, this is one of my favorite stories in all of Scripture, and you've heard me reference it before. You've heard me preach this particular story before. It's so profound. It's a wonderful example that our Lord Jesus gives us. And as we read it, we're going to read 20 verses in a row. So I want you to follow along. I want you to hang with me, and I want you to put yourself in the scenario of the disciples, if you could. John chapter 13, we're going to look at 1 through 20. That sacrifice is our command. Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You don't understand now what I'm doing, but someday you will." "No," Peter protested, "you will never, ever wash my feet." I think that would be my response to Jesus. But Jesus replied to him, "Unless I wash you, you won't belong to me. Simon Peter exclaimed, well, if that's the case, right, then wash my hands, head as well, not just my feet. Jesus replied, a person who has bathed all over does not need to wash except for the feet to be entirely clean. And you disciples are clean, but not all of you, for Jesus knew who would betray him. That is what he meant when he said, not all of you are clean. After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth. Slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them. I'm not saying these things to all of you. I know the ones I have chosen. But this fulfills the scripture that says, the one who eats my food has turned against me. I tell you this beforehand, so that when it happens, you will believe that I am the Messiah. I tell you the truth, anyone who welcomes my messenger is welcoming me. And anyone who welcomes me is welcoming the Father who sent me. Church, there's so much to gain from this story. We had to read it in its entirety. You can't shortchange that interaction. There's so much for us to gain from the example of Jesus. There's so much that he does in this moment. There's so much that he is teaching us even today. So when we have this command, which is going to be the last thing that we talk about, when we have this command, when we have this example, who is it for? Like, who is Jesus talking to? Like who is it meant for? If you're a note taker, I want you to write this down. It'll be on the screen. His own. This is meant for his own. We'll reread verse 1. It says, before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. The English Standard Version reads it this way, having loved his own who were in the world. This love that Jesus was demonstrating, this love that Jesus had for his disciples, I need you to hear me, was a unique and special kind of love reserved for his own. So when Jesus is setting up this example, when Jesus does this wonderful truth-telling, the showing of grace and service, who that is meant for is his own, his children, the ones that he calls out, his very own. John 1, verse 12, we're going to read a lot of scripture today. John 1, 12, it says, but to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. That he gave the right to be called children of God. It's been preached before from this very stage. Now, I need you to really hone in. I do not need you to get confused on this. God loves the world. Do you believe that, Holland Chapel? God loves the world. That, in fact, is a true statement. John 3:16, we know that our Creator loves his creation. But this kind of love being demonstrated here by Christ is a love specifically given to his own. God, of course, loves all, but not all, I need you to hear me, are his children. Not all have that benefit, that privilege of being called children of God. So we need to make sure in our wording when we go out to a lost world, absolutely it's accurate to say, Jesus died for you. He loves you. But we cannot say you're a child of God unless you are born again. That privilege comes through Christ and Christ alone. We are the chosen ones. Like we're called. We are his own. So when Jesus is establishing this example and he gives this command, which we're going to get to, it's for his own. It's for his children. And because it's special, because it's a privilege, his children, they need to listen. They need to lean in and go, okay, what's different? Man, if he's established this command, he's given us this directive because we are his, What is it that we have to do? Why is it so important? Why is it such a big deal that he sets us apart? Hear me. God has commanded something different out of his children. He proves it in verse 20. He says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who welcomes my messenger is welcoming me. And anyone who welcomes me is welcoming the Father who sent me. So what's Jesus saying here to his own? He's saying, when I send you out in my name as children of God, when I send you out under my authority with my word, you represent me. And if you represent me in such a way that the world welcomes you, it's as if they're welcoming God himself, child of God. That's a tall order. But he's set us aside for that task. That's why it's so important that we understand that this command is for his own. It's for his own. It's for you. And I think it needs to be said, the first week as we were going over those excuses, please hear me if that was rough to hear, I was preaching to myself week one. But at the very end of the list, we get to that excuse where it says, I just don't want to. If that's you, when we understand that this command is for his own, and you think, well, I just don't want to, you need to ask yourself this morning, am I his? Am I his? Because this command is reserved for his children. If there's no desire in your heart, then you really need to address, is he really in there? Am I really his? This command is for his children. But why? Because we are his own, and this command is given. But what does it look like? What does this command look like? I want you to write this down. It looks like his example. It looks like his own example. Christ's example was perfect. Absolutely perfect. He is the perfect leader. He's the perfect shepherd. So when he displays, when he puts on display what he's doing, what it means to serve, like that's a perfect example. Have you ever followed a bad example? Nope, nobody? Like you've seen, I'm sure, bad examples. But man, have we ever followed them? I'm sure we have. Like we followed those bad examples. Doesn't it really bother you, church, when somebody in authority over you asks you to do something, maybe at work, that you know good and well they will not do themselves? You ever been there? Boy, that just puts a burr in the saddle, don't it? When you're like, man, you're telling me to do this because you don't want to do it. Or you're asking me to do this because you're too good for it, right? That ever happened to you? It just does a special kind of something to you, doesn't it? It bothers you. How about this one? How about this person that says, it's not my job? They ever said that to you? That's not my job. Christ, please hear me, never said, it's not my job. He never thought, he's arrived. Like, I don't have to do that. Like, his example... What was his example, Pastor Luke? You haven't said it. We read it. Washing feet. Like that was perfect. Jesus eliminates all excuses. He never said, like, that's not my job. That's beneath me. He got lower and he served. Matthew 20, verse 28. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Christ never said, it's not my job. He gave us the most beautiful, perfect example of servant leadership, of loving other people. He said, listen, you call me teacher, you call me Lord, that's what I am. Like I've got high status, yet I serve you. He took the form of a humble servant. Why is it so important for us to grasp who Jesus really is? So it shows us what kind of example it really was. Philippians 2, 5 through 8. says you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, church, it's really important for us to understand that Jesus is God. Our world desperately needs to hear that Jesus is God. He did not think of equality with God as something to cling to, like to hang on to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges, and he took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God, and he died a criminal's death on a cross. I need you to hear me. The one who showed up to his own took off the outer garment, wrapped it around his waist, dipped it into a bowl of water, and washed disgusting, nasty feet was Jesus, our Savior, the King of Kings, the Creator of all the universe, said, "If I can do it, surely you can." Like if Jesus, of all people, humbled himself, got down on the floor and washed feet, what's our excuse? And again, I'll say it again. He took all excuses off the table. He says, I am your Lord and teacher. Like if there's anybody that should be being washed, it's me. But he said, it's not what I'm going to do. I'm going to wash your feet. Have you ever been tempted, church, to think, well, I've been in ministry a long time. I've served this church for a long time. I've been in this area for a long time of service. It's time for somebody else to do that job. Or maybe like I'm beyond that. That was younger years. Like I'm beyond that. We're so tempted to think that as we grow spiritually, we outgrow responsibilities. We don't. The more that you grow spiritually, the more service opportunities are above you. And Jesus is reminding his disciples, showing them really for the first time, if I can serve, if I can wash feet, the King of Kings, most certainly you can. I love history. Do we have any history buffs in the room? All the nerds, you with me? I love history. History's cool, okay? You're like, no, it's not, man. No, it's not. Not at all. I love history. My mom was a history teacher, and my dad had a metal detector. I had no chance. Like, I had to love history. It's just part of it. And I love all eras of history, but I think one that's most intriguing to me is that ancient Roman time, because we get so much of the New Testament from that time period. It's intriguing to me. Anybody know the Roman Emperor Marcus Aurelius? Those that have seen the movie Gladiator certainly do. Marcus Aurelius, a real-life emperor. He was the last emperor to rule at Rome's height. Of anybody to say, you know what, I'm a god here on earth, it would be Marcus Aurelius, the ruler of all Rome. History would tell us that when he took over as leader of Rome, he hired servants to stand behind him and whisper, "You're just a mortal." In our language today, they would say, "You're just a man. You're just a man." They would whisper this to him 24/7. "You're just a man. You're just a man. You're just a man." To remind the most powerful person in all the earth that you're just a man. And what Jesus wants you and I to understand, not that we are worthless and lowly and rotten, but that we have been saved by him. We are not the creator, we're the created, and we serve him. And that if all people who could claim the right to be served, it was Christ, and he didn't. So it's our excuse. You're not above serving. You'll never be above serving in any capacity. Jesus eliminated all excuses. We need to remember who we are and who saved us. Week number one, it's a sacrifice because of what Christ did on the cross for you and I. 2 Corinthians 5, we can't help but live and serve him. All because of what he did. There's no excuse. You're not too good to serve in any capacity. So the first 20 verses, Jesus goes through great lengths, we see, in this theatrical form to give us a visual representation of what it is to serve one another. Then to make sure that his disciples, us, children of God, had no excuse. We have no excuse to say, I don't know what that meant. He goes a step further to say it. So not only does he lead by example, shows us, but he says it. I need you to go to verse, I believe it's 34. Verse 34. And this is where he gives us his command. This is his command. He says, so now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. I'll repeat it. He's giving you, right here, you and I, a new command. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. How do we do that? We serve one another. We sacrifice for one another. We give our lives in service to King Jesus. Like, that's how we love one another. Jesus makes it so clear. I wish, church, I told first service this, I wish that there was so much more to add to this third point, if you will. I wish that scripture was a little convoluted so that I could come up here and explain and make sure we get the Greek just right so that we can elevate the text. But it's so simple, church. Like Jesus says, this is what I'm telling you to do. I've shown you, like I've given you example to follow, but in case you missed it, I'm gonna tell you. So he shows and then he tells. Like he says, you must love one another. No explanation needed, church. He makes it so simple. Love one another. How do we do that? Wash feet. We serve. We do what's necessary. We go low in service. If King Jesus can do it, certainly you and I can. So pastors and elders, I addressed you in the first service. Hear me. Go low in service. Serve. Deacons, serve. Group leaders, serve. Husbands, serve your wife. Wives, don't throw anything at me. Serve your husbands. Parents, serve your children, even when you don't want to. Am I preaching now to someone in the room? Serve your families. Presidents, GMs, CEOs, it doesn't matter what's outside your door. Nothing is beneath you. Serve. Love. Jesus says, this is the command that I give you. Love one another. So church, again, there's not a lot of explanation for this third one, so I'm going to give you practical application. What's your excuse? We read a lot of them week one, and I'm thankful you came back after that. I really am. What's your excuse? I want to tell you how. If you're in the room today and you've not stepped in to service, Paul says, of course we should serve, especially those in the family of faith. We make it abundantly clear in our new member class here at Holland Chapel that when you say, I want to plug in, I don't want to be a part of Holland Chapel, that you're not signing up to be a regular spectator, that you're signing up to be a contributor, that you're here to serve one another. But if that's just been outside of your grasp for whatever reason, today is the day, I pray, you eliminate all excuses and step into obedience. Your pastors here, out of the book of Ephesians, our job is to equip the saints to do every good work. We want to help you step into this command, his command. So in front of you, in the seat back in front of you, you'll see the connect card. You can either fill, like if you're old-fashioned, you like writing with like pen and paper, go for it. Take that out and say, I want to serve. Somebody will be reaching out to you, and we'll get you plugged in. If you want to scan the QR code, which takes you to the digital format, I want to serve. Somebody will call and put you in to whatever service you feel that God has gifted you in. We want you, church. We want you to be plugged in. Of course, I want you here on Sundays to sing, to worship, to cherish the Word of God, to learn. But that whole process is designed to activate the children of God, His own, so that you will step into obedience. Like, we want you here in worship, of course, but we want you serving. Because as Janelle said, it is a blessing. Like, it will benefit you in your spiritual walk. So please, eliminate all excuses. Answer the command, the call to serve, and watch what Jesus does in your obedience. Let me pray for you. God, we love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your command. Thank you for loving us enough to tell us what to do. Of course, you showed us, and we're so thankful for that perfect, precious, wonderful, humbling example of washing feet. I'm so thankful that my Savior serves. So God, I lift up the ones in the room today that are serving faithfully. I just want to say thank you, God, for moving in their hearts. And at some point in their life, they took that step of obedience, and you've blessed them for it. So I praise you for them. And God, I lift up the person in the room that perhaps comes from a history of serving, but for whatever reason, whatever circumstance entered their life and took them off the field of service, I pray that you would renew their spirit and help them to get back to serving you in whatever capacity. And God, I pray for the one in here that is your own, that for whatever reason has been disobedient. They've not said yes to this command. God, I pray that you would convict them, that you would stir their heart, that you would nudge them towards that step. It's a big step. God, I don't want to minimize it. But that you would help them step into the area of service that you've crafted them specifically for. Help them to say yes. And God, help us all as we pursue Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for Christ Jesus. We ask everything in his precious and holy name. Amen.